Yes.
Yes, is that a yes or yes or yes maybe?
That was a yes with a question mark.
Yes, yes, upwards inflection at the end.
Some high quality MP3 in there, Alex.
It's actually a wave. that's actually a ringtone, not the song.
That's wonderful.
What's going on, man? How are you doing this week?
I am doing wonderful. How are you, Alex Hillman of Indie Hall of Philadelphia?
I'm in New York Indie Hall, Alex. What is even happening? I'm in New York.
You are in New York. We are in person.
I don't know. We have no idea what the sound quality is going to be like. This is four episodes in. We're already changing things, which is either the best idea or the worst idea, and we're going to find out in the next 28 and a half minutes.
Alex is in New York for like a whole week, and my liver is so excited.
Well, I think that we're gonna pace because you know the week is sort of bookended. So tonight we're going to go to this Steven Johnson thing. The guy that we talked about in the first episode is the New York Public Library with Kevin Kelly, who, for those of you who don't know, Kevin Kelly he founded Wired? I think it was Wikipedia that while I keep talking. So anyway, so Kevin Kelly and Steven Johnson are doing this little thing at the New York Public Library tonight. We're going to go. And then at the other end of the week, I'm actually flying out of JFK to go do a Halloween party with my best friend in wine country. So I figure why not just spend the whole week in New York? So for as close as it is and as often as I visit, I've never spent an entire week in New York. And so now my latest adventure is I booked a room via – it was a co-founder of Wired is what Tony's informing me of quietly. I booked a
– Thanks for blowing up my spot.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Well, it wasn't going to make me look any better.
It's like advanced notepad technology.
I'm not so good with the cue cards. So I'm staying with someone that I don't know. Which for us who we work with people that we don't know every day, that should be that shouldn't be so weird. Tony's trying to shake me up with more profanity in the quote unquote cue cards, also known as Windows Notepad. So anyway, what we were talking about this on the train in, right? Where we're used to like sharing space with people that are relative or in many cases complete strangers.
Yeah.
And yet, like, the working arrangements around that are very different from the living version of the same thing. But I'm going to take it for a spin, staying with some Italian dude, like, 10 blocks from here.
So he's still there. He's not, like, leasing out his space.
Yeah. So he's got space for, I think there's three private bedrooms and then, like, a shared common space. Mm-hmm. So I'm renting out one of the bedrooms for the week. But it sounds like a pretty sweet spot, like a nice loft with they have a roof deck and stuff like that. So, and it's cheap, crazy cheap. So you can spend like, for you to spend less than $300 a night on a decent hotel room in New York is kind of unheard of. And I'm getting this place for $100 a night.
Yeah.
Which is
probably way cooler.
And probably way cooler. And I'm going to make a friend.
Yeah.
Unless he hates me. And then I'm not making a friend.
Well, right. Then you just go to a different room.
Just go to a different room. Yeah, so.
And that's Rumorama, right?
Rumorama.
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 Rumorama.com.
.com, yeah. So check that out. They're in like probably three dozen cities.
Mm-hmm.
New York, Philly, San Francisco, I guess most of the popular ones. But I saw like some European cities as well. So it seems like a pretty exciting way to like alternative to the hostel.
Right.
Seems pretty cool. So anyway, that aside, we had some... We know what we're going to talk about today for a change.
Yes.
It's
funny how Alex and I can have these moments of ultra decisiveness where just this, I mean, the show itself was basically, Alex said,
you know, hey, let's do this. And I said, absolutely done. And it was done. And so similarly, we are going to, starting now, try theming each episode to a particular topic such that they could be more easily referred to later on. When these topics come up again, and maybe, you know, they can be sort of organized and structured in such a way that they're more easily accessible down the road.
I still think it'll be like kind of freewheeling off the cuff, but I think, you know, given we've given ourselves a sort of half hour constraint, I think we can easily talk for a half an hour on any of these sort of meatier topics. And that was, you know, going back to episode when we talked about why we want to do this and going real deep into stuff is, I totally agree. That's a great reason to be doing this. So, so today we were riding the train in, and I asked Tony, what does New Work City use for like internal communication, messaging, and those sorts of things? Out of genuine curiosity and a little bit of selfishness. But actually it wasn't how it went down. I started to ask a question, then I paused. I did a little like Zach Braff, like look up to the left moment thing. And then I said, you know what? Let's talk about that in the show today. And he goes, okay. And then 30 seconds later, he goes, so are you going to clue me in? So the reason I was asking is because we just started last week. We're piloting something, a new tool, a sort of a new workflow for member communication at Indy Hall. So historically, we've been doing, like in Indy Hall's like earliest communication between anybody was in the beginning of 2007, I guess. And so we started with a Google group, like the rest of the Corking group sort of took inspiration. We had a Wiki and a Google group, and a blog. But as we set up our own space, the space started to feel like a project. So for one reason or another, we migrated to Basecamp. And we're using Basecamp's messaging and write boards and stuff like that for internal communication. And it was good when we were 20 people, but now when I hit send and it goes to 170-some people between members and then some, you know, friends of, well, first of all, that crashes Basecamp. Basecamp like totally freaks out when you try and send a message to almost 200 people.
Really?
Interesting. So
Rail scaling.
Yeah. Rail fail. So for a long time we've been looking for something else. But like that was just I think that was the most like daily painful problem. There was broader issues. So before we jump into the tools, I'm curious what you guys have used to date, and also what you use it for, because I think that people have an expectation of what you're going to use a communication tool for, and I've seen some pretty interesting things in how people actually use the stuff that we present them.
Yeah, this is actually something that we're evaluating now, because there are a few different use cases, and we've got a lot of communications channels, and it's very broken up right now, and I think, especially now with the new space, that we want to be a little bit more deliberate about knowing what channels should be used for what kinds of communications so that the members understand that as well and can plug into that so that I can tell them very clearly when they come in, if you want to talk about X, go here. For announcements, go here, whatever it is, and make that just very clear cut. And then for us, from a management perspective, we know where to go for any given type of communication.
Right.
And right now, it's very all over the place. We have a Google group that sort of has all of our members, but we don't really strictly add every one of our new members to it, and we really should, but, you know, and then for some reason, whenever we try to start a discussion on Google Groups, nobody responds, or very few people respond. We have a meetup group, which is great, but it's 900 people, and most of them are not members, and so it's very, that's very sort of spread out. We're on Facebook, we're on Twitter, we use Twitter for a lot of stuff, we announce a lot of events on Twitter. We have a dashboard page that people see when they log into the Wi-Fi that shows a calendar and the recent tweets. So there's all these communications that are going on. We have a MailChimp mailing list, we have blogs, and it's not centralized. Like if somebody said right now, email all the members this, and have it go to just all of the active members, even the one that signed up.
You'd
this
have
morning.
To do work before you could even.
I wouldn't even know how to do it, yeah. You know, and that's awful. And so we are overhauling all that. And there are these new needs too, especially in the new space. We've got events coming up. We need to be able to sort of let people know what's going on. Tonight's a very unusual night because we sort of backed our way into trying something that we've always wanted to try to do, which is have two events at the same time. It's not something we really wanted to try to do, but we were curious how it was going to work out. And we just sort of accidentally ended up with two events tonight, and it's going to be tricky because we're going to need to rearrange everybody and put people in conference rooms and stuff. And it just needs to be an easy way to communicate these things. Right. Or, you know, maybe the construction crews come in, they're going to fix something. There's going to be some noise, but it'll only be 10 minutes. So, you know, never fear, that kind of thing.
So there's a mix of different kinds of communication that's necessary. There's also the factor of, you know, people are in different places. Like, for example, not everyone's on Twitter. So as easy as it is for us to announce things on Twitter and get people to show up, people are getting left off just because that's not their primary, you know, means of communication. You know, we sort of suffer from a lot of the same issues. And on top of all of that, and it sounds like the fact that you're in multiple places sort of helps fix the problem of trying to communicate both privately and publicly at the same time. And that was the thing that I was most interested in our most recent overhaul was, you know, we were pretty good at getting our members to talk to each other,
mm-hmm.
Although not always in the ways that we thought they would. The thing I was interested in were there was conversations that were happening within our private base camp that I was like, this stuff should really be out in public. You know, I know there's people out there that would be interested in this, and there's no reason for it to be behind closed doors. And there's other conversations that happen like really close periphery to Indie Hall,
yep.
But those people don't post in the base camp because they're not members.
Yep.
So I was interested in what we could do to allow members and non-members to sort of communicate freely with each other as either member to non-member, non-member to non-member. And then secondary to that was that sort of what's the purpose of this communication, which is something that Google groups fail at miserably. We feel that on the co-working Google group all the time, you know, for all the volume that goes through there. There's no way to filter what kind of messages. I'm personally interested in helping the spaces that have been established for 6 months or longer. I have a space and I don't know how to get people into it. I've answered that question 150 times already and I don't need to answer it anymore. We have sort of the same issues with internal communication as well. So when we really thought about it, I really wanted a forum, like a real deal web forum. And the problem with that is all web forum software totally sucks.
Yes.
All
of it, really. It's amazing.
It's shocking. And one of those things where, like, people are like, why don't you just build a new one? I was like, because this is not a reinvent the wheel. Like,
yeah.
Web forums have been, like, one of the oldest forms of communication on the internet.
Yeah.
And
yeah, going back to BBSs, I mean.
Don't reinvent it. Just make it suck less.
Yeah.
Like, everything's better. Like, PHP BB is it's tragic. So I wanted a forum. I wanted a forum with categories, like with threat, like the topics and subtopics, so we could do a little bit of organization. I wanted granular access so that members had access to certain forums, non-members had access to certain forums, and there was an overlap between them. And it was easy to move somebody through
the
different
roles. Yeah, it
could
be managed
roles,
easily,
right?
Yeah.
I also wanted it to be like a really easy to use interface because not everyone is super tech savvy or you know has the patience to try and learn something new. I revisited a tool that I evaluated about a year ago, Vanilla Forums,
mm-hmm.
And they took some money earlier this year, I think it was. They have a hosted software as a service model now, but they also have the open source. A PHP MySQL self-install thing.
So they've got it's the WordPress model.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, they overhauled completely between version 1.0 and 2.0. The biggest thing that kept me from using 1.0 was lack of sort of category management and that role permission thing. And that's like a big part of what they did. They now have a very simple category, subcategory structure, mm-hmm. and a very powerful sort of role assignment. So, like I said, you sign up and you immediately have access to post and comment on anything and create new threads in categories that you're allowed access to.
Right.
So the things that it's missing that I think we're going to have to overcome are email, like the email hooks for it. I don't think that it's the kind of thing that will become a destination. I don't see people going to it and sitting there hitting refresh for the next message. So we need the ability to like announce stuff.
Yeah, that's actually one of the biggest struggles we've had in deciding what we wanted to use is that balance between passive versus like sort of active notifying you, because you don't want to be filling somebody's inbox with emails every time somebody posts something, because that's going to get filtered almost immediately.
Right.
But if you don't have that way of sort of poking somebody, then how much can you rely on them to sort of check on it every day or keep the tab open? Where's the balance between those two?
So since we have to customize it anyway, and luckily it's open source, that's not the worst thing in the world, the sort of workflow that I'm hoping that we pull off is a combination of things that we learned did work really well in Basecamp and sort of our own understanding of how we hope this is going to be used. So if you sign up as a general forum member, not necessarily an Indie Hall member, but a general forum member, you'll be able to opt in to all notifications, digests, or a particular thread's follow-up. You can do any of those things, granularly. That's what we want to build anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
What I think will be interesting is we actually want to, if you are an Indie Hall member, meaning you get permission to our private forums as well, the expectation is those private forums will have actually really important stuff. Like you said, construction, events, stuff that you don't want to miss as a member. So we're actually going to make it, if you're logged in as a member, you're going to get email notifications and everything you can opt out of. Like once you get the first one, you can say, don't send me any more messages about this thread. I don't care.
Right.
And I think it'll be interesting to see how members respond to that. And also, what I'm particularly curious about is what is participation like between the members and the non-members? Will general members be actively subscribing to threads?
Mm-hmm.
And will our own members be actively unsubscribing to threads? It'll be really interesting to see, you know, sort of what those patterns are and how they emerge. But I'm super excited. The biggest thing for me is sort of having a place where we can capture discussion and activity where sort of the Venn diagram of Indie Hall and not Indie Hall overlap. Because there's a lot of awesome people that are involved in Indie Hall. They're involved in other things. And I feel like this is a perfect place for them to talk about it and start sort of overlapping Indie Hall with other really rad communities in Philadelphia. Because every time we've done that, that overlap has produced really, really cool stuff. Great partnerships, great interactions, like real valuable stuff. And ultimately, as important as the communication facets of this tool is, that's what I really want, is I want it to be a place for that overlap to start to happen.
Right, right. But that's going to require some customization of the existing forum, right?
It'll require a little bit of... I mean, the way it's running now, it does everything that I want it to, with the exception of the email notifications. It's got... it's got a really basic email notification system that I haven't even completely figured out what its defaults and options are.
Right.
But we're piloting it internally, primarily internally. We have a handful of outside people that we've encouraged to jump on board as well.
Right.
But we'll hopefully be announcing, like, I want people to get involved with it soon, real soon, because we want to start learning how people use it really soon.
Right. Yeah, it's important on our side too. We want to because there's so many times that, and not just us broadcasting to our members, but internal discussions of just people knowing what's going on, who's talking to each other, who wants to get lunch right now, and there's a lot of different things.
Well, who wants to get lunch right now? I mean, those shorter correspondences don't really make sense for something like this. Like,
yeah,
that's like That's chatter.
There's a lot of different levels, is I think what I'm finding, and maybe that means that there are different solutions that focus on different levels. Mm-hmm. That maybe there is just a plain old chat back channel that's available, you know, for people to gab.
Well, you've had that, whether it's like Campfire or IRC. I mean, we have too, and quite frankly, its usage is like basically non-existent.
Yeah.
It's not. I don't think it's interruptive enough, and I don't think it provides enough value through the entire day for somebody who's busy to pay attention to it.
So I'm curious about something. Your experience, because I know I've had a very specific experience here, which I'll talk about, online versus offline communications. What I've found is that historically, online communications have been really great at reaching non-members and getting participation and response. But when I want to reach the members, nothing works when it's electronic. And anything I do in the space that's face-to-face seems to work so much better.
Interesting.
And so just for example, one of the problems that we constantly have is that we have these great events that are going on in the space and our members just don't know about them. And I tell them we have a meetup group, I tell them to follow us on Twitter, but people don't want to get, you know, all that correspondence, so they just don't use those services. But then I'll do something really silly, like stick a whiteboard up right in the entryway so it's the first thing you see when you walk in. And the number, like, all of our members know exactly what's going on in the space. They've all been exposed to all sorts of things that they otherwise wouldn't have just by having a whiteboard up front that's saying what's going on tonight.
Right.
And it's just so wild that with such a tech-savvy crowd, and it's all, I mean, everybody here is online all the time, that somehow the internal communication so far, to me, seems to work better offline than anything that I've found to date.
Well, I think that could be mirrored into sort of that ambient chatter communication too. Like, the fact of the matter is like a co-working space like either of ours is effectively any of these tools but manifested offline to begin with. So
yeah.
Why would they be going back online? They've already gone offline.
Yeah.
All these people are perfectly capable virtual team workers in one way or another. So I think it actually makes complete sense that they've already walked in sort of in this mindset of I'm back in meat space mode. You know, I don't know if they're saying give me a memo.
Yeah.
But I think that more tactile involvement with the space makes sense across the board.
Yeah, I get enough email.
Yeah.
I'm on enough mailing lists.
If I want to like talk in a water cooler, it's not going to be a virtual water cooler. I'm going to actually go over to the water cooler and talk to whoever happens to be standing next to me.
Right. I'm not going to log into the virtual water cooler to chat with whoever's, whatever avatar is on there at a particular time. So I have a thought that perhaps I will test at some point when budget allows, which is to bridge the two a little bit. Curious about whether
you're gonna have robot avatars broadcasting your virtual voice.
That's not buzzword bingo, but it's something.
Yeah.
no, I'm thinking about putting up a monitor in a space with the back channel of some kind, that way there is this passiveness of. But you can, so like if you're walking down a hallway, you can see what's going on in the monitor and see what's going on without it notifying you and. You know, give you a reason to go on there and talk because you know people will be seeing it even if they're not logged in. I'm really curious to try it.
I think that something as simple as putting the chat room up there I don't think it's going to catch as many people. We talked about doing something similar, like hooking the projector up and projecting the campfire room on the wall. If for nothing else, as a reminder that there's a campfire to even be in.
Sure.
But I think it'd be really interesting is to do more like some of the software companies are now doing these sort of virtual dashboards showing sales stats. So you can do like opt-in participation measurements. Like as it's 11:30 and it's approaching lunchtime, how many people are interested in going out to lunch? And they just go to a little thing and they hit I'm interested.
Yeah.
And then it shows a chart of how many people, maybe their avatar or whatever. And so you can see, oh, there's a bunch of really cool people that are going to lunch. They're going to...
Yeah,
I'm trying to use food place nearby, and I'm gonna join because that looks like a group I definitely want to hang out with.
Yeah,
that's way more involved than projecting a campfire room, but That would be a pretty interesting experiment. I kind of dig that idea.
Yeah, yeah, that's really cool. And yeah, we're getting to the end, but I want to mention one other thing. A couple of our members are developing a chatbot that is actually quite cool, and it's starting out with just a very limited scope. It's called Prompt Lunch, and all it does is once a day it emails you asking you if you're available for lunch. And if you say yes, it says what time and what do you want to eat. You tell it, and it will keep track of it, and then it'll spit out when other people want to eat lunch, and it'll make a list. And it's just stupid simple. It's so simple that
That's
it actually kind of really works.
Yeah.
And now they're working on expanding to
dinner.
Will you be at the office tomorrow?
Ah.
Which is kind of cool. So I'm very curious how it's going to work out. We've been using it. We've been testing it internally a little bit, and it works. It's really cool just to see who's ready to go to lunch when and what they want to eat. And I think people have already had some really success.
I would love to be using something like that.
Yeah.
That sounds great.
So, yeah, we'll keep you guys posted on it if it ever becomes something that's shareable.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
So we're getting to the last few minutes here of the show.
It's true.
And I believe it is my turn to ask you a question.
Your turn. Right? Your volley.
My All right. So, Mr. Alex Hillman, the question for Alex this week. Man, you know, turning the discussion to the co-working at large, the global co-working world, there's been some discussion about communication. There's been a big thread, a pretty healthy discussion going on about Facebook, Google group, the Facebook group, and that kind of communication. Where do you think we have the most opportunity to share, to create value for each other, and like really help each other as a global group, in the realm of sort of just communications over the course of the, you know, mid to long term?
So I think there's been sort of a pervasive problem with communication, and it's not any of the ones that people are talking about. I think that we need to take a big step back and remember that co-working is an open source project. And the best run open source projects have healthier ratios of contributors and maintainers to users. There's still a majority of users, like a vast majority. I think it would be, you know, far less than 80-20. It's probably 95-5,
yeah,
or less. But I think that any sort of communication mechanism that encourages and rewards valuable informational contribution, and not just prompted. So when somebody asks a question and people respond with their ideas, experiences, opinions, and thoughts, I think that's valuable. But one of the things that we've been trying to do with the blog that I helped Angel overhaul, and she's been doing a super job of,
mm-hmm,
like just reminding people, hey, this is here, hey, this is here.
She's
and
been
like,
championing it really well.
She's really, really doing a great job. And I think that we're set up for a trajectory where people are going to start posting interesting things and without them answering a specific question. And what'll be really cool will be when we get to a point where there's sort of this, there becomes sort of a known points of reference for a given topic.
Yeah.
And these posts maybe even start to evolve into revisions 2, 3, so on and so forth. So when somebody comes in and asks a question, granted, Google Groups isn't as smart as something like get satisfaction, where you type a question and it uses search to point you to like a sort of suggested knowledge base. I'm hoping that's the direction the blog goes. It becomes a knowledge base. You know, we use tags and things like that to keep it organized based on what topics these posts are,
right,
are creating. And you know, the one-to-one help is good, and I think it's important. But in order for us to grow the way in order for us to maintain the growth trajectory as a global community that we have, we need to start knowledge basing fast.
Yep.
There's so much amazing knowledge, and we're at a point where people are doing research on co-working, academic research on this thing that we've been playing,
yeah,
with for 3 years, 4 years ourselves. So I'm super excited about the amount of knowledge that's being generated. I'm frankly disappointed by the amount of effort being put forth by the people that are generating that knowledge to document it in a way that that lives on beyond them. I think that people are really focused on solving the problem that's right in front of them,
mm-hmm.
and I get it, and I'm guilty of it. But
we're probably more guilty of it than anyone.
Yes, absolutely. But the great example, or the easiest example I can give is that we, we get emails to the tune of less than 10 a week, but fast approaching something like that. People that are interested in consult with, hey, I'm starting a co-working space in city XYZ. Do you have time for a chat? And if I fielded all of them, I wouldn't have time to do anything.
Yeah.
Even if I were able to charge these folks for the help, I'd be repeating myself.
Sure.
Multiple times a day. So Jeff and I recorded those couple of videos,
yep.
and we have the Indie Hall FAQ, which we actually have branded as a more general co-working FAQ because we think these are broader concepts. And we also have an FAQ category on our blog. And every time somebody responds, we have a relatively canned response that says, we're really glad that you're interested in our model. We don't have the ability to field every question one-on-one. Here are the most common things that people ask and our answers to them. If when you're done reading through this, you still have questions, reach out.
Yeah.
And we want to find a way to help you. And it's, I think that we've been able to not have to turn people away as much.
Mm-hmm.
And still make sure that they're getting the message that they would get if we were sitting down one-on-one. So I'm hoping that more people start doing those sorts of things.
Great. Well, it seems like we're off to a good start with it. Gettingcoworking.com, and then a few months later, starting to build out this blog and having the blog be something that everyone can contribute to. Right now, there's just three tabs at the top there, and I think down the line, if we have a few more tabs that we can start building out based on the information we start collecting there, maybe even dumping this podcast onto that blog.
Yeah.
I think that makes sense.
Yeah, definitely.
That maybe we can start heading in that direction in a way that maintains the starfishy nature of things.
I think it'll be good.
Excellent. So there's just one other quick little program note, which is that I have a list of apps that we researched for New York City's Back Channel. I'm just going to drop them in the post. There's about 7 of them. They're all great apps. And so if you're interested in building out a back channel for your space and you want to try them out, check the list on the post.
Yeah. And I mean, we looked at a lot of the same tools and just sort of settled on where we're going. So sweet, man. Well, I think it's going to be fun. I said it at the beginning, I'm just so excited to be in New York for a week, and I'm glad that I'm here in New York City for the week. So if anyone happens to be in the city between now and the end of the week and wants to get together for a drink or come by and co-work for a day, now's your chance. I'm going to be here for a limited time only.
And we have a big party in Brooklyn on Thursday. Tech drinks at Woodwork. In Prospect Heights.
And I've been to this place a couple of times now. Woodwork is sick. It's crazy.
A lot of fun. That's bit.ly/ TDXIX. And we also have a Halloween masquerade ball coming up Saturday, October 30th. nwc.co/masquerade. It's going to be awesome. That is my plug for the day.
Yeah, that was a little promotional, but
yeah, sorry. I it's going to be so awesome, and you're going to, if you're in New York, you should really come. That's all.
All right, man. Let's get back to work. We got some stuff to do.
Yeah, this is the part where I would say goodbye, but we're not on the phone, so let's just say goodbye to the internet.
Goodbye, internet.
Goodbye, internet. See you next time.